The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix podcast. Tune in today.
Tēnā koutou katoa, no mai hare mai ki dietary requirements, the Spinoff's food podcast, ko Simon Day toko ingoa. I'm your host, and as always, I'm joined by the Spinoff's food editor, Alice Neville, and food boss, Sophie Gilmore.
Hello, kia ora. Simon. Kia ora.
This month, we are out on the road again with a special field trip, and we are reporting to you live from the best thing to happen to Ponsonby Road in a long time, which is why you can hear the traffic noise. And even though Sophie's husband is from Hamilton, this is the greatest thing to ever come out of Hamilton. Ooh. Duck Island ice creams.
What about your friend Daniel Vittori? Ice cream is even better.
Ice cream's better than Daniel Vittori.
Simon is the world's biggest cricket fan.
So we're at their new store, New Auckland store on Ponsonby Road, and today we are joined by owner and founder Cameron Farmelo and the Ponsonby store manager Trish Harrison. Thank you guys for having us.
Pleasure to be here, and what a call.
I know.
A couple of calls there.
Yeah.
If they're both true. They're both true.
Simon's always really sure about everything he says.
I've never been known to have an opinion.
Simon. Black and white.
But before we get started, as always, a shout out to our sponsors. The Spinoff's food section wouldn't be here without our wonderful sponsors, Freedom Farms. They believe that everyone who eats meat has a responsibility to know how that animal has been farmed. They're dedicated to providing you with the best pork, free-range chicken and eggs. So go buy their bacon, buy their eggs, buy their chicken. It's the good shit.
Touché.
As I imagine everyone agrees, New Zealanders love ice cream. But doing a little bit of research, we love it more than I ever really knew or expected.
This absolutely threw me off.
So depending on who you believe, if it's the New Zealand Herald or the New Zealand Tourism Agency, we are the largest or second largest consumer of ice cream per capita in the world. On average, we eat 23 litres of ice cream a year.
Wow. I think we just need to just let that sink in for a minute. 23 litres per person.
I think my scooping arm feels that. I definitely feel that.
Yeah, it's like unless you're in the know, you wouldn't know. But to me, I have to say I'm letting the country down. There's absolutely no way I eat 23 litres. Although I'd be keen to give it a go.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. But how much do you guys reckon you eat 23 litres, Trish and Cameron?
I definitely do since Simon Duck Island has arrived in my life.
Yeah, I might get close, I reckon.
Pretty Trish, close. You're scooping arm.
Yes, yeah.
Are you like Rafael Nadal with one giant...
I am pretty swollen one arm. Yeah, no, I do. I do change it up, but I do have a strong hand.
Yeah.
Can you share some scooping tips? Because whenever I've tried to scoop ice cream nicely with a scoop, I muck it up.
I guess you have to just jump in there. I don't know if this is right, but this is the way I've been doing it. I've been working for Duck for over 3 years. Everyone holds it like this, like, I don't know where I'm on a podcast. I don't understand.
Sadly, there's no camera.
But they use a lot of their wrist action, and that's quite painful, and I don't do that, but I kind of lock my hand around it and just lock my elbows and just pull it in.
So I scoop
from my back, towards me.
And you keep the wrist kind of straight? You don't go
keep everything.
Limp and
Some people, they, like, do a whole lot of
Yeah, imagine
spinny.
Getting RSI from that. That makes sense, though. I can see if you're holding it, so you've got the scoop down.
Yeah, and I just
lock it.
The
handle is pointing straight up.
Yeah.
And you start away from you and you drag it towards you.
Yeah.
Engage the core.
Engage, breathe, exhale as you pull back, and then inhale when you go back.
I can see it would be a good
one. Do you do Pilates, Trey?
No, I don't. I dabbled in yoga once.
So quick introduction to Duck Island for those who do not know, and I feel sorry for those who do not know. But Duck Island is a delicious celebration of New Zealand's favourite food. The brand is coming up on 4 years, on its fourth birthday in July.
Yeah.
And the store is an incredible place to experience dessert. It's a hub of innovation. You're scooping how many flavours today?
24 in the cabinet at one time. So usually around 6 or 8 of them will be dairy-free and vegan as well.
So I made a really short list of some of my favourites. It's actually quite long. I've eaten and adored salted caramel cacao crumb, roasted white chocolate and miso, white chocolate, pomegranate and macadamia, cinnamon smoked apple pie, maple honeycomb and smoked almond, black sticky rice, passion fruit coconut, coconut caramel sesame chocolate and peanuts, blackberry sage and honey. The list goes on, but I will stop because you get an idea right away of the approach that Duck Island has to its attention to detail and innovating exciting new flavors. Where did that come from? Why did you see space for that sort of exciting new approach to ice cream?
I guess there's always been kind of, we've noticed the space for small boutique ice creameries that are doing something a little bit different. So we follow a lot of places in the States that are doing a similar thing, and kind of feed off that, and we try and do twists on popular flavors to keep them interesting. And
how much like when you're testing different flavors, how many do you try out and then realize they're terrible? Like, do you ever try any combos and like, oh god, what was I thinking?
What's the fail rate?
Not too many. I mean, like, now we've kind of got it down into our few recipes that all work, and it's all you're doing is infusing flavors. So if you've got a semi idea of what you're doing, then it's all the same process. We do get it wrong occasionally, but
can you remember the worst flavor you've ever made?
I don't know.
None of them are bad.
But I can imagine there being some sort of like wild idea that you thought, okay, let's give it a go, and it was revolting. There must be some of those.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You guys are taking risks, but I mean, when they actually read, although they read interestingly, they do read balanced.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand that those ingredients are in there for a reason. It's not a token wild card in every flavour or anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's ingredients in there that people get scared of and don't want to try just from reading the name, but we find, like, kids are super good at just giving everything a go and usually like it, sort of thing. So
we never give kids' palates enough credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should test them more as well.
See, this we've got two flights in front of us now, which is actually an approach to eating at Duck Island that I really endorse.
You get eight to try scoops of ice cream in one bowl.
Share it, but not with more than two people. Is this the banana ash?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Tell me about that, because that was when I first read about it and saw it. It gives you a little bit of a fright, but it's so delicious.
It's just, I guess, dairy-free base with banana in it, and then it's got the activated charcoal in it that gives it that black colour.
Does it have a flavour, the activated charcoal?
Kind of like a slight flavour. I think a lot of people use it as a health food sort of thing.
Ice cream, health food ice cream.
I've got a stick of it in my water jug at home, and I bought it probably like 3 years ago. Someone said, oh, you know, it purifies the water.
Yeah.
And now I've just left it there, and it's almost like become this really embarrassing hipster touch to like the dinner table. I'm always like, apparently it purifies the water. I just think it looks cool. I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those fads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us every flavour we've got here? Can you tell what they are?
On my right, we have a flight. It's got a lot of... So we've got the banana coconut ash, the coconut vanilla, and the coconut chocolate. We've also got the blackberry sage and honey, milk chocolate, fairy bread, one of my personal favorites. We soak brioche in that cream, so it's a lovely sweet bread ice cream. Yeah. Raspberry ambrosia with house-made marshmallows and raspberry jelly, and salted caramel with cacao crumb.
So how many goes are vegan?
So the top three, so the banana ash, the coconut vanilla, and the coconut chocolate, they're vegan. I believe on the other end, we usually have about at least 6 to 8 vegan flavors out per day. On my left, we've got toasted marshmallow, chocolate cookies and cream, strawberry coconut lime leaf. So that one is vegan. We've got coconut caramel with a sesame praline, chocolate and peanuts. That's also vegan. It looks like that's strawberry cheesecake, coffee rubble and peppermint slice.
Yes. It's all based off site. Trish didn't know what was going to be brought out. You've
I've been here. I think when you eat a lot of ice cream, it kind of been here for a little while. I think being such in a small business and being part of the process, it really like you learn everything that's in there, where everything comes. Nothing really hidden.
Can you please run us through the fairy bread brioche situation that you just started talking about? That sounds awesome.
Oh yeah, so that's we use Villari down in Hamilton.
Villara, yeah.
I don't know if I say
the
name right.
We
had a huge debate over how I've been saying it wrong. I used to call it Valer. So it's Valari. Okay, so we have that. We soak the brioche in the cream, and then we have some sprinkles through that. When the kitchen was in the parlor, Andrew, one of the chefs, used to bring me out a bowl of soaked brioche that was really good. So I've always been, I like buttery bread.
Yeah.
So that's why I love that flavor.
Where is it? Can I try it? Is it this one?
There.
Oh, I see.
And how do you turn the soaked brioche into ice cream?
Just a lot of...
Thank you.
I guess stewing.
Yeah, like most of our ice cream is made, they're like infusions rather than we don't use eggs for most of them. So it's just milk and cream and then we're dropping flavors in. So we drop the brioche in and let it soak in overnight. And then
you squeeze it out pretty much.
Yeah, and then everything's aged overnight and then churned the next day and then... Yeah.
Wicked.
And all of the kind of inclusions, most of them are added after churning, just as we're putting them into tubs or containers.
So that's anything that's like a crumb or a piece chunk?
Yeah, like cheesecake crumbs and the ambrosia, all the bits in there. And
that's
yeah.
after you churn the ice cream, before you package it?
Yeah.
Wicked. Wow, I'm so impressed with all your flavours, guys.
So good.
How do you make vegan ice cream?
Exact same process, just coconut milk, same infusing it, just bringing it up to temperature with the flavours in it.
I love coconut milk ice cream. Delicious.
I don't love it all, but I really love the one that I just had, the chocolate one. Tastes exactly like
kind
a bounty
of mask,
bar.
Mask the coconut a bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think I've historically a fad dieter, and I think I've done some of those ones where you like everything you're allowed is coconut. Like, have a spoonful of coconut oil in the morning. It just makes me like, it just takes me back.
In your coffee.
But I think that the chocolate coconut one is bloody delicious. It tastes like a bounty bar, which is like a nostalgic flavour.
I love bounty bars.
So, to me, it always seemed a little bit... different that this started in Hamilton.
Where does that come from?
The Hamilton version.
I didn't think anything cool came out of Hamilton.
Okay, he's just going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
That's my problem that I need to get over. But why do you think this came out of Hamilton? Is it just because that's where you guys were?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, we've been, the three co-founders have been foodies for ages. We had a restaurant in Hamilton for 9.5 years, is where this all kind of came from.
What was that called?
Chimchurri.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It just started as us playing around with desserts and kind of just grew and grew into, I really didn't want to do it, but one of the other co-owners was right into ice cream and gave us a list of places to go in New York when we went, and we went to one called Morganstern's Finest Ice Cream.
Yeah.
And it was snowing and there were still people in there, so I was like, all right, we can give this a go. That's kind of where it started.
Wicked. Mm.
Yep. Do you think Hamilton is having a renaissance, or it, you know, suddenly has become cool? Has it always been cool and we just didn't know?
I think so. I think the food scene's come a long way in the last while. Like, there's some pretty good producers and restaurants and cafes now compared to 10 years ago when there was one or two. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going, so 10 years, over the last 10 years, going to Hamilton on and off with my husband, his family, who lived there. They all lived there. And yeah, it was really difficult to find somewhere awesome to eat when we started. There was this like one called Cullen's and one called Victoria Street Bistro. They were super old school and trying to be quite fine dining. And I remember when I discovered Chimchurri, I was like, yes, now we're talking. And then at the time we had Bird on a Wire, and a year later Winner opened, and I was like, yes, this is awesome. And then you know, Matt Pedley, and they opened Mr. Pickles a year or two ago. It's really catching on, isn't
and
it?
Even like food producers like Villare and Good George is getting some
the
smaller breweries and stuff as well.
Villare's bread really is beautiful. We used them for when we used to do the home and garden show. We used to have the like cafe at the end of it for some reason. They always wanted us, and so we used to use their bread. I thought they were beautiful.
What do you think's fueled this development of the scene? Demand?
Hamilton people want it, but also there are opportunities for people to have their creative idea, not at really expensive prices. You can just launch it and then you've got it. And we all, because New Zealand's quite small, so we're all kind of quite interconnected, and you see what's happening in Wellington, you see what's happening in Auckland, and we want it there. But I guess there's actually right now not enough, I don't think there's not enough new businesses opening up for everything I want to do in Hamilton. So
I also think, like, I noticed a lot with the restaurant, all the younger talented chefs would go to Australia or go abroad and then bring their ideas back as well. Like, I did that and spent 5 years in Sydney and learnt heaps and came back and brought it back to Hamilton, sort of thing. And it's like a small town where there's not too much competition. You can kind of willing to give it a go, sort of thing.
There's room in the market, because I feel like in Auckland it's,
we're getting pretty saturated.
And the ability of even really good places to survive is hard, because there's only so many people to go out to dinner every
And there's Friday, Saturday, new places opening every couple of weeks, so
Why did you decide to open here? Did it feel like a big risk, or you were?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we've been pretty much since our second year, we've been looking to come here. We just always seem to have had a really good response. People asking us on social media to come up, and the amount of people we had through our Hamilton store who were coming down specially to come to us.
I was about to say, I know of probably three or four. One of our old chefs used to go to Hamilton on a Sunday, on his day off, just to go to Duck Island.
So it kind of just seemed like a natural next place to go.
I think there's loads more, just in my observation, that there's loads more young people in Hamilton, and it's becoming more of an extension to the bigger population. You know, like, they're apparently, to get out of Te Kauwhata in the middle, like, at 5 o'clock in the morning, there's traffic. Like, people are living, you know, halfway there and driving to Auckland if they have to work here. And I think that as soon as the trains get up and running, it'll be such a cool, accessible place for us to be able to go.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's a reflection of the property market too, isn't it? That people can't, maybe people come home from overseas and can't afford to buy a house in Auckland, so they go to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Where does the name Duck Island come from?
There's a, where our Hamilton East store is, there's a little island in the river there. Then we all kind of live nearby.
It's a mound of sand.
Yeah, pretty much.
Call it what it is.
Name, but yeah, all the locals kind of call it Duck Island. So,
cool.
Yeah. Are there lots of ducks on it?
Yeah, there are ducks there. I think so with the moving to Auckland thing and why it's called Duck Island, it's important to know that the three owners of Duck Island, they've always grown up in Hamilton East. Their first job was at, did you guys used to work at Grey Street Kitchen? It wasn't your first job, but a long time ago.
Hydro Majestic back in the day.
Yeah, Hydro back in the day. So that call back to Hamilton East and the first parlour being there, that's kind of where it comes from. And moving up to Auckland, because there are just three founders who can't really go open up somewhere far away where they can't commute up to check on me, see how it's going, check on their baby. So this is the first store out of, you know, that they can't go to every single day and check on and be a big, huge part of. So
is it just you that's made the move to Auckland?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
She's holding it down.
I am really homesick for Hamilton, actually. I never thought I'd say that. I used to be like, I can't wait to get out of the city, and then just really being connected to all the businesses that are coming up in Hamilton East and in Hamilton. There's just that sense of family. We are a small city. I think some countries might call us a town.
So how long have you been here?
I've been here for about 4 weeks, just for the store, but I've been with Duck for 3.5 years. So
I can lend you one of my Daniel Vittori posters to put on your wall.
I was going to say give it time, soothe my broken heart. I think I can understand if you're not from Auckland that it would be a huge shift, and although it's not geographically that different in the sense that we all tend to drive around too much and not get on public transport. It's just, you know, in Hamilton, my in-laws always say it only even takes 5 minutes to get anywhere. Like you can literally get in the car and 5 minutes later you're at your destination. So I guess that's an adjustment. But in the same way as Hamilton East, I think people really operate in a reasonably small radius, and you know there is a strong sense of community too, but it's time.
I'm starting to sense that in Ponsonby though, just getting out and getting to know the shop owners. There is a sense of community out here as well. You just got to get out and find it. So I'm still in those early days.
So I'm going to Hamilton tomorrow for the very first time in my life.
Ever. Oh my god,
this couldn't be better time.
I know, for Feast Waikato. What are the best things other than Duck Island? What should I not miss?
I'd recommend that you go and spend some time at Seddon Park.
Okay,
yeah. Just a cricket ground. Yep. Maybe just take
just
in
pay
the
my
atmosphere,
respects.
Even if you pay your respect.
No, you can flag that. I reckon you should go to Mr. Pickles in the evening.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
I think you should go to Winner Winner at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Yeah, good options. Hayes Common, so it's a good one.
Yes. The woman who owns Hayes Common is running Feast Waikato, isn't she? I think that there's a connection there. Not Siobhan. Shona.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she's, maitre d' or something.
Right. Yeah. She rang me because I am on the board of Dynade and we're doing a big Christchurch fundraiser. And she said we're going to try and raise some money for Christchurch this weekend, and we're planning to do it through Dynade. And she said, I own Hayes Common, and I thought that was kind of funny because of all the kind of trendy hipster cafes, that's the one that we take my husband's 93-year-old grandfather to. And it's because there's like parking outside, it's got comfortable seats, and he's got no idea that he's just a mega hipster, like snacking on short rib and kimchi. He's just like, nice beef sandwich.
Ken is a boss. Brilliant. Though Ken is
he's open-minded.
Very good. I've just realised I've eaten so much ice cream while we're talking that now I'm like, oh my god.
What's your favourite? I'm really down with the coconut caramel
sesame praline.
Chocolate
peanuts. We really
Wait, which
run
one
home
is that
with the
one? I've just been stuffing my face.
It just kept on giving. Like you'd get a bit of praline, then some of the sesame flavour, and then the nuts. It was incredible.
What's the coffee one that I had?
Oh, the coffee rubble was real good.
Yeah, so that's
My favourite.
I had that the other day when I came in.
Yeah, that's quite that's kind of a new take on a classic, but we use Rocket Coffee, who are from Hamilton. And we've got pretzels, we've got chocolate coated chips, we've got caramel sauce, crumb, donut crumb, everything.
Wow. Yeah, it was absolutely delicious.
I used to work at Agnes Curran, which when we used Rocket Coffee, it's not there anymore, but the owner was the brother of the Rocket Coffee owner.
Oh, yes.
Cam, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very
He's
cool.
funny, man. He's very cynical, so we get on well.
Do you rep Hamilton as part of what you offer here? Is it about showing Aucklanders the fact that the world exists beyond their own nose?
Not. I guess we have the exact same offering as we do in Hamilton, but not particularly repping it as such, I guess. Like, we're yeah, I guess proud that we're from there and the product's made there. But
yeah, and you're using coffee suppliers from there, so I guess you're supporting local.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not part of your messaging?
No.
Yeah. Except for Duck Island. Now we can tell everyone what it means. They're going to go down and check it out.
Yeah.
You could go, like, swim out to Duck Island.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean,
would you want to do that? I feel like that would be a
good idea. I wouldn't want to do it, but people do. Yeah.
What's the...
super fans visit the island.
What's the, like, NPD sort of timeline? Are you just new products? Once a week we need a new... flavor, or once a month we're going to roll out a new one, or is there someone in a lab the whole time?
We've got a pretty loose, like, we try and do a couple of flavors a month sort of thing, doing specials, and we always try and do something, like, say Easter, we'll do some sort of Easter flavor and a Christmas flavor and all that sort of thing. But yeah, mostly two or three flavors every month, and we kind of trial them through the store, and if they end up being super popular, then they'll make it into the main rotation.
That's actually really awesome, isn't it? Because there'd be loads of food businesses that envy the ability to do that. Like, you can just really quickly throw something in there, see if it sticks. If it doesn't,
I mean, it's a perfect way for us to test. We've got kind of a small supermarket and fine food sort of side of the business as well, so it's good to kind of trial flavours through there as well and get customers' feedback before we go and print thousands of labels.
So I've been really inspired by the way, by your approach to flavors, and I copied you, and I make peanut butter.
Yeah.
And I made a white chocolate and miso peanut butter, and it's really fucking good.
It is good. I can concur. Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to return the inspiration, and I made a cinnamon orange zest spiced peanut butter that was in commemoration of the death of Jesus. it was a hot cross bun flavor.
That's my kind of shit.
I reckon you should do a hot cross bun ice cream. Yeah,
in the plans for
next week.
Great mind.
We like to leave a lot of space for seasonal fruit, like fico is coming up, and like these kind of things, because it is all about creating, and two of the founders are chefs or ex-chefs, so you can't really snuff that out. So we always have space. We've got like a whole line that we know work, are really good. We know people want, we make them, and then we, like today, Morgan, one of the founders, is popping in and just going to play around with one of the flavors. Very experimental. And then Hamilton East usually gets trial one and then gets sent back if it's not working. And then hopefully by the time we come up to Ponsonby, it's pretty good.
How many sites do you have?
Two in Hamilton and one here, and then the factory in Cambridge.
And then how do you split up? So there's three co-founders. Are your roles quite different, or are you...
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of just the business side of things, which I'm kind of enjoying after cooking for 10 years.
Yes.
And then Morgan, one of the other co-founders, has got three kids, so she mostly looks after the flavors.
Yes.
And then Kim, my partner's mostly just at home with kids. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, for now.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's the cool thing about it being a business where, you know, three of you that are close are shareholders, you can make all the decisions, you can do whatever you like.
And everyone's got their kind of bits that they're better at than the others.
Yeah. And why not design a business around your lifestyles? And you know, when all the kids are at school or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
The women might come back with a bang.
Yeah, yeah.
Has it exceeded your expectations of success, though?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, after we came back from New York and decided to give it a go, it was... I feel like we put something like 30K into setting it up, and so it was like, you know, I wasn't willing to put too much money into it, and just wanted it to break even. That was kind of the plan. And
tell us about day one.
One sale, middle of winter. I remember when I was just trying to look back at our history just to see maybe if it can guide me where we're going, and no help there. It's just a little bit more busy.
Has it just been exponential from day one?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I guess exponential would mean two on day two.
Yeah. Originally we had the factory was in the Hamilton East store as well, so that's kind of...
Yeah. Ponsonby's really opened up my eyes. I thought I knew what busy was, and now coming in here after 7 p.m. Ponsonby Central just lights
up. Yeah, it's chaos. Yeah. You end up having people that are just, their main job is to shout at people and tell them to wait and get in line, you know? Yeah, it's like we always had, you know, when people are queuing for places, you just basically need to organize them around you rather than you organizing around them. You're like, we'll get to it.
Are you guys okay? Because every time I come down to the Ponsonby shop, it's so busy. Are you coping all right? Is everyone safe?
Yeah, everyone's safe. It's ice cream. And, you know, New Zealand overall, we're quite chill. So it's all like you smile, people smile back. Everyone is happy to have ice cream. No, we haven't had ice cream thrown at us. We're pretty, like, it's pretty good. It's a really
I was just thinking that you probably escape that. You get this thing in food service generally where sometimes someone's reaction to what has happened will be so fucking out of proportion.
Yeah.
You know, like they get home and their chips weren't in the bag and you have never heard someone go so feral in your life.
Yeah.
And you feel like being like, you know, saying to them, like, it's just dinner. Like, you're going to be all good. We're going to replace your chips and we're all going to move on. But, you know, I can kind of see how ice cream's a bit more feel good.
Yeah. We have had, like, a little, like, Auckland overall is a little bit more uptight than, like, Hamilton, but big city life. I'm saying that, Cam.
I think that's good. I think you should throw some shade back at us.
Yeah. How about Auckland, huh?
What you can't see is a real mean side eye going on from Trish at me right now.
No, but end of the day, like, sometimes when someone has a reaction that I feel like isn't to do with the ice cream.
Yeah.
I just remember that, like, it's probably
it's not about the ice cream.
I've done my best. My team's done their best. And if I will always look through something and be like, is there something we could have worked on? Because we're always looking to improve. Like, what have we done? Can we do better next time? And that's, like, a big thing. We are looking to be better every time. As long as we can take on stuff.
That's interesting what you said about moving up here and noticing a change in customers, because when I moved up from Wellington many years ago to work in cafes up here, oh my god, there's Albert Cho. We just eat that food guy just walked past. Celebrity spotting.
Come be on the Spinoffs podcast very briefly.
Oh my god, we get a stalker, Cameron.
Hi Albert.
Albert's literally just walking down Parnell Road and he's been wrangled to come and join the podcast.
Spinoffs Food Podcast.
Oh cool, hello.
We're big fans.
This is Eat Lit Food, Albert Chu.
Hi, it's my birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday!
Hey, Albert. Can we buy you an ice cream?
Oh no, I'm like really fucking. Oh shit.
We don't give a fuck.
I had so much cake today, I'm like really full.
What have you eaten at Duck Island before?
I've had the fairy bread, the smoked salmon and the apple pie, and I've had the salted caramel cacao crumb.
You have the most epic memory. There's actually quite a few times where I've looked at your Instagram and I'm like, how do you remember this?
I've had the brownie one, the boysenberry cheesecake.
Knows them all.
As well. And I like this ice cream sanger.
The miso, white chocolate.
White chocolate miso, yeah.
So this is Cameron, who's one of the founders and owners.
Oh, yeah.
This is Trish, who's the manager of the store.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the ice cream sanger will change your life.
Yeah, I need to have
it. No, it really will. I bit into it. It's like the perfect, like, softness, so it doesn't, like, ooze out. And it's just like, yeah, it stays intact and it's really fucking good. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, what are you guys
doing? You heard it here first, guys.
We've had like everything.
Basically. Okay.
We did a float of eight different. A flight of eight different. I think I'm about to float out of here. Eight different flavors in each bowl.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
Great.
What's on the cards for the rest of the birthday, Albert?
I'm going to Ostro for dinner. You know, I want to feel some Josh Emmett in me.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Don't we all?
Yeah.
I look forward to your post.
He actually came to see me this morning.
Oh my
God. And he dropped off his book. Good promo, Josh. Good promo.
Yes, yes.
I'll support that.
These things do pay off.
His wife came and I was like, why the fuck are you here?
Where is Josh? Helen is so awesome. Have you met Helen before?
Why are you infiltrating the date? Like, yeah. She's cool. She's really nice.
You're like,
she's
a good photographer.
Yeah, she took some good photos of us.
She's really hilarious too.
Yeah.
No, she seems fun. Wicked.
All right, I need to get going. But
have a nice
happy birthday.
Great podcast, guys. Thank you.
Bye. We'll get you officially on one day.
Sophie Gilmore's real cool as well.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye. Monday.
He paid it. You paid him to stay
there. I didn't pay him. I didn't even call him over.
That was me.
You paid him.
I have a question for you guys. We've talked about the ice cream factory being in Cambridge. What does an ice cream factory look like?
Boxes.
Not quite. Yeah, pretty much.
Not Willy Wonka.
No, I mean, yeah, we get a lot of people asking to come and have a look at it, but it's
have a tour.
Kind of boring.
There are some boxes and here's a kitchen and you're in there and get out.
Yeah, I think we want to move it back to Hamilton next year when we want to kind of upgrade it a bit, and I would like to kind of make it a little bit more interesting and interactive and somewhere where like kind of schools or something could come and
did you see the Pix peanut butter one that he's just done in Nelson?
No.
He's done like a sort of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory-ish vibe on peanut butter. So you should check that out. Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Should we move into formalities?
Sure. Right.
I want to add one because we always forget to talk about what we're drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what should we call it?
What we're drinking?
On the piss.
On the piss.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
So
we're now moving to our segment, fondly known as OTP.
But on the spin-offs food section this week, Alice?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I went up on Monday, I believe. Yep.
We published a story about helping wine drinkers spread their fingers into different pies. If you like Sauvignon Blanc, how about trying a Chenin Blanc? If you like Pinot Gris, what was the suggestion for Pinot Gris, Alice?
Pinot Blanc, no. Probably.
No, wasn't it?
Okay.
I think if you like Pinot Gris, try the Esk Valley Verdello.
Oh, a Verdello.
Or Verdello? I don't know.
How
you say it.
Verdello.
So,
and so what we've got today, we have a Matafero Chenin Blanc. And this is a grape that it's a style that I fell in love with over New Year's at Amersfield. It has that summer feel of a Sav, but then so much of that beautiful complexity of oak, and I love it so much.
The story, which is by Claire Adams, and it is actually, if you like off-dry Riesling, try the Amersfield Chenin Blanc. We don't have that one today. We've got the Matafero Chenin Blanc from Gisborne, and very nice. Goes well with ice cream.
I think if you are a Chardonnay drinker and you like Chardonnay that doesn't sort of hark to the American big, bold, buttery style, so you like the sort of Hawke's Bay, Gisborne-y, more creamy style, then I definitely think that Chenin Blanc's the way to go. It's definitely one of my favourite wines. It's delicious.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it because I'm not, as you say, a huge fan of
Mega oak
shards or like super acidic salves, so it's kind of a nice little something different.
There's one that's like on loads of wine lists in Auckland that's made by Mark Bridiff, and it was really
Yes, Vouvray.
Yeah,
it's a goodie.
Oh no, he does a Chenin Blanc.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I thought Vouvray was the same thing.
Well, yeah, but I thought that it was anyway. I'm not sure what the label says, but I remember the first time I ever had it was that one, okay. And it was like this. It was a real watershed moment for me, guys, in my piss-drinking career.
Yeah.
I love when you have those moments. Mine, I had a very similar epiphany at Emmersfield.
The Fumé Blanc.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, actually, I was sitting at the table. Simon was just about slipping off his seat.
Well, I was meant to be driving, and I had to hand the keys over to a very generous pregnant woman who shouldn't have been put in that situation, but... Thanks, Anna. I appreciate it.
Handy having pregnant friends sometimes, eh?
I know, but...
You've got no choice but to drive.
Surrounded by them.
Yeah. It gets a bit much, doesn't
it? We've just opened a Growers Mark Albarino. Who can tell me what that means? Because I don't know.
Well, an Albarino, or the Growers Mark part, do you mean? Or the Albarino?
No, the Albarino.
It's a grape that comes from Galicia.
Where's that?
In northwest Spain. And it is... It's got a mix of citrusy acidity and deep waxy complexity. I'm not reading this. I'm just... No, it's... Yeah, Claire, who wrote the story, wrote that.
You're right, though. It is...
Albarino is sort of like
it's sharp.
An astringent... Yeah, closest to Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes, so yeah, that's if you like Sauvignon Blanc, try Albarino.
I actually prefer it to a lot of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Why?
I might add, because it doesn't have the grassiness to it. It is a bit deeper and waxier.
What wine would you match with ice cream?
Cameron? I don't know. I reckon this would be pretty good with like fairy bread or something, buttery notes maybe.
Yeah, yum.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, true. The deep, buttery brioche would go really well with that oaky goldenness.
Yeah. Is there a... So I guess you have a base ice cream recipe. Is your ratio unique to you? I would say that my observation of your flavours are that they are less creamy and rich and intense than other ice cream flavours. Or is that just my...
I would say probably... I feel like maybe we'd have more cream than most others.
Okay.
We're probably getting pretty close to 50-50
yeah.
milk and cream sort
wow.
of thing. So, yeah.
So what are we talking with the ones that are like, that feels like you are eating cream? So just comes to my head, like Mövenpick Vanilla Bean. Do you reckon they've gone past 50%?
Possibly. I mean, yeah, I guess depends on their production. Like a lot of people... put a lot of air into the ice cream as well, which maybe can help with it. Yeah,
I think we put in a lot of cream, but we put in a lot of fruit as well, so it completely absolutely. I like to meet, sometimes people come in looking for the healthy option, and I'm like, I'm sorry, like we're looking into it, but that's not
sorry,
us.
Sorry, we don't serve rookies here.
Yeah. I just
get out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but. Just, you shouldn't be, you're an ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
We have tried though, and we do look at it.
There is water beside the till.
Yeah. What I would ask though, is a vegan coconut cream ice cream less calories than a full cream dairy option?
I don't know about calories, but it would be less fat content.
Yeah, so it depends what sort of diet gig you're after.
Yeah,
but maybe get one of the vegan ones if you're that worried about it.
That good fat, right? That's my own personal
it's talking about.
It's meant
to be a treat sort of thing, like not a everyday sort of thing.
23 litres a year, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
23. But for our friends that do come every day, please keep on coming every day.
So 23 litres a year. So that means you're having 500 mils of ice cream a week. Which is, I guess that's not that much.
Okay,
is
I definitely top
that's
that.
A pint,
I think I'm on that higher average, and that's why some people who only have one ice cream a year.
How much is in one scoop? Would that be like 250 mil?
Wouldn't be that much.
Ish?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I'd say, I don't know.
Because I still don't think I'd have three scoops of ice cream a week. But yeah, I'm so stoked that New Zealanders are doing it for you guys.
Proud of you, New Zealand.
Yeah, proud of you, New Zealand.
So the next thing we talk about is our Cook's Corner, where we offer a little tip to listeners about that we have from our own skills in the kitchen. Trish, you've already provided an epic scooping one, which want to remix on. My special scooping trick is to use my hands. And I roll it into little balls, and then I put it into
the freezer?
Into Tupperware, and then get it out at dinner parties, and it's already pre-rolled in these perfect little cricket balls. Tina, who was protesting, has eaten my hand-rolled. I made an Indian ice cream, carrot, ginger, cardamom.
Yum.
With poppadoms crunched on the top. That was rolled with my hands.
Rolled with fingers.
On my
dad.
We always
so
make jokes about scooping with our hands.
It's so
but
easy.
Jokes.
I got real cold hands though. I had to have breaks.
Why don't you just use a scoop?
Because I wanted to create those like sexy, perfect round balls.
Yeah, but it just sounds like you can't scoop properly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll get you to have a little lesson.
I've been taught to scoop, so engage the core.
Yeah,
use the back.
I do agree with the pre-roll and scoop, though. We had this, like, funny thing at cooking school where they taught us to make... So you can make an ice bowl to present your ice cream on in, like, a buffet situation. And so you get a big bowl and you fill it with water, and then you put a smaller bowl inside it and put the whole lot in the freezer. And if you want, you can put flowers and all that jazz in it. You put it in the freezer, it comes out of the freezer, and you've removed both of the bowls and you've got this like perfect ice bowl, and they filled it up with scoops.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty camp, but it was also effective.
Awesome.
So Sophie, have you got off the top of your head a cooking tip?
I would like to say, as we come into the cooler temperatures, this has only been about 5 minutes in Auckland, but I'm annoyed when I eat macaroni cheese and the pasta is overcooked. So if people didn't understand the memo, you're only supposed to half cook the pasta and then you toss it through the sauce and then you bake it. So the idea is that the end result is still al dente and it's still reminiscent of the pasta that it was supposed to be rather than mush.
That's what I would say.
Good tip.
And a very quick tip. Do not eat the mac and cheese chip flavour.
Oh, yeah, it's I haven't disgusting. Tried it. Did you have it yesterday?
They don't teach you. What a rocket.
No, I didn't. I was offered it. Someone had brought it into the office.
I will try it.
Have you ever thought about a macaroni and cheese ice cream?
No.
Have you done a savoury ice cream?
Truffles.
I ate as the bridging course at Cedart a cheddar ice cream, and I was skeptical and it blew my mind. It was so good.
I think we've done a few kind of savoury based ones.
We've done some cheese ice creams.
Yeah, blue cheese ice creams.
Blue cheese. Yeah. I love that. We had the fig and walnut, with blue cheese. And what was the other cheese we had?
Yeah.
I remember having a place in Hawke's Bay Bistronomy.
Yes.
Having a dish there that was like, had ice cream and a savoury dish, and it kind of was amazing. Just like adding another dimension, I guess.
I had a smoked tomato sorbet at Logan Brown on Friday, and it was very, very good.
Yeah, that's like a palate cleanser, isn't it?
Yeah.
I am in the States. It's probably one of the ice cream places you're talking about. That there's this ice cream shop in Venice Beach on Abbott Kinney, and the funny thing about that is that of course I got served by a New Zealander. They're like, oh hi, how can I help you? I've been surrounded by American accents for weeks. But I had like a goat's cheese black pepper something or other jazz, and I was up for it. It was a good time. Everyone else that was in the group that tasted it thought it was revolting, but I don't really have a sweet tooth, so it suits me.
I've had a goat's cheese ice cream somewhere before. I can't remember where, but I have at Siddharth. I had an onion ice cream, which sounds disgusting but was really good.
Onions are delicious.
Yeah. Onions are the most underrated everything in the kitchen. I always remember being upstairs doing my homework, and I'd be like, Mom, what are you cooking? It smells amazing. And she's like, well, at this point, only onions.
Butter and onion.
It's pretty good.
Alice, what's your cook's tip?
Well, mine's a bit lame because it's not really a cook's tip, but it's about the joys of Tupperware, or, non-Tupperware specific. Other branded, resealable plastic, Sistema, New Zealand made. Just because I've started shopping at Good Four, which is the fill your own place.
Yeah.
And you just take your Tupperware in, you put your pasta in, you put all your different legumes, your flour, your whatever. I get my muesli there, and then your whole pantry is filled with Tupperware, and you don't get ants and moths and stuff going in. If you were fancy, you could get like nice, stylish jars.
I was about to say, would that be awkward if I took all my glass jars and filled them up?
I go in with real dodgy glass jars all the time.
Got it. Okay. All right, I'm doing it.
Did you know, this is one of my, I think, the funniest Kiwi food stories. The Sistema headquarters out by the airport is in the shape of a giant piece of Tupperware. It's even got the blue handles on the side and shit.
I didn't know that, but I'm very pleased.
So I'm happy with it.
If you're ever flying into the airport, like, keep an eye out. You might be able to see the giant lunchbox.
Just to look for it.
And my husband's actually banned all Glad wrap in our house. And
yes, I've banned Glad wrap.
My family always put our leftovers in a bowl. And obviously you then need Glad wrap, so we've really been embracing the Tupperware Tetris in the fridge with leftovers.
And things last better. And put cheese, your cheese should be airtight, so chuck that in there. Yeah, Tina agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simon, what's your cook tip?
I did it was my ice cream scooping.
Oh yeah. Cameron, have you got one?
No. Favorite.
Come on, you're a chef.
Maybe a favourite dish that I don't even know how to say at the moment is that cacao e pepe,
cacao e pepe,
the
pasta.
Oh my pecorino. God.
It's my new favourite at the moment.
Yeah. I think I'm going to interpret Cameron's tip for him, and the simple and effective can go such a long way.
Yeah, sure.
Don't be afraid of, throwing out your sous vide and just making a pronounce it for us, Sophie.
Oh, look, I'm not Italian.
Cacio e pepe.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Sophie made us cacio e pepe during a podcast live.
On air.
Unfortunately,
we're not allowed to do that anymore.
That's been cancelled when we set off the fire alarm, and the big burly man with a moustache told me that he wasn't angry at me. He was just disappointed.
And you're like, brilliant. And you are sexy, my friend.
He wasn't, man.
Fireman's outfit.
The final piece of housekeeping is talking about the last great meal we've had, our last supper segment. I was lucky enough to spend the weekend in Wellington at the Cuba Dupa Festival, which I highly recommend going down for. But Wellington just knocked my socks off.
Woo!
I hadn't been for a while, and everything I ate really, really impressed me. Whether it was seared tuna that was then tempura'd at Logan Brown, like really, really fancy, or if it was toast for breakfast at Custom, which was cinnamon and sugar. And I hadn't done that since I was a little boy, yeah. And it was so rewarding.
It's so cool down there too, eh?
They try less hard to be cool. That's actually
they're just naturally cool.
That's the first line of my story that I'm writing about my weekend in Wellington, is that I finally admit that Wellington is cooler than Auckland.
Yes. And I would say one step further, that you get cooler just by being there. So you come back to Auckland a little bit cooler than you were before you left.
Are you saying I'm cooler than I was last week?
Well, with that shirt over your head right now, Simon's doing some interesting sun protection.
Trish, what about the best meal you've had lately?
As a new Aucklander, what's been your favourite meal?
Trish, give me the eyes. This is where we find out that I'm so out of touch with food, but I do a lot of like operations and systems and that kind of thing. But I've been working a lot.
So you only eat ice cream, breakfast, lunch,
and yeah, dinner? I had a gluten-free
cone. What about the Sichuan place you were?
The other morning for breakfast. Oh, Sichuan place.
Yeah. We're having out back the other day from Mount Eden somewhere.
Oh, I am obsessed with Mount Eden noodles. I like my chili.
It's so good.
Dan noodles?
Yeah. I like spicy
food. They're Dan so good.
But I've been just working quite busy. My partner's really trying to make me meals. Trying. We're both really young, new to the kitchen. So he got a coleslaw mix from the supermarket, and he knows beans are good for protein and chickpeas.
Oh, so he pimped it.
But no sauce, no. Yeah. So I've been having cabbage and beans.
It sounds like rabbit food.
But hey, he tried.
I'm glad
he tried.
You get to come to work and eat ice cream.
I eat a lot of ice cream. I make up New Zealand's quota.
Good.
For New Zealand.
Trish's partner needs to listen back to all our podcasts and pick up the...
Yeah. Hey, he tries and his heart was
sauce,
in it.
Sauce.
Beans. A lot of beans.
Also, we have a podcast guest, and I would love to know what the best meal you've had lately is, girlfriend.
So Lara has really generously bought a spin-off podcast experience at an charity auction for... Down Syndrome Day. Upside Down is the name of the charity. So we're really, really flattered to have you, Lara. But we're going to pull you onto the microphone now for you to tell us about your favourite dining experience in the recent past.
She chose us as well. She could have chosen, you know, the Real Pod or one of those fancy popular ones, but no. Not that we're not popular.
A couple of weeks ago, it was my hen's do, and ooh, my sister organised, it was all over in Devonport, and we did like a perfume making experience.
Oh,
and, but I've lived in Auckland for about 5 years now. I'm originally from Christchurch, and I've always found that Devonport's a little bit of a dearth in terms of fine dining, or good food, not so much fine dining, but good food. But we had dinner at Vic Road Kitchen.
Yes. I was about to say, there's one place that I know she's going to say.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Did you have pasta?
We just said to the maitre d', who I actually remembered from, he used to work at Wine Chambers in town, and I said, we trust you, you just do what you want. We'd already had quite a lot to drink by that point. So it was cool. And it was just amazing, everything we had. From, you know, the good old fries with pecorino or something, through to the beef and the... everything was delicious.
I had a really delicious... it was Linguini Vongole before, it was when they first opened, and I had read about it and for some reason found myself in Devonport at that time, and I always tell everyone when they go there now to go.
Only place to go. Yeah.
Nice.
Amazing.
I spend a lot of time in Devonport because my whole family lives there, but I've never been there, so I must go.
Come on, Alice.
I know. I usually just go to Tiny Triumphs and drink beer.
Oh, yeah. It's just around the corner from there. Yeah. It's on Victoria
Everything's
Street.
Everything's very close.
Yeah. Very central. Yeah. Yes.
All right, Cameron, have you got a meal for us that you loved lately?
My last one was Esther in Sydney.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Been so kind of following their Instagram for a long time.
Same.
So it was pretty cool to get to go there.
What did you have?
I remember having like a little blood sausage sandwich, which was like super tiny. The blood sausage was like the size of your little finger. And I can't remember heaps of it. A vongole dish as well that was super yum.
Yeah.
Vongole and wagyu fat, I think it was.
Oh, just yum.
Everything over there was super yum.
Sounds like you have some dishes that you don't remember.
Yeah. It was our first night out without the kids for a while, so we had a couple of drinks to go with it.
Fair enough.
Good on you. That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and thank you for the delicious ice cream. I'm, as you can tell, a huge fan, and I wish you guys all the best in Auckland, and I'm sorry for talking shit about Hamilton.
I'll
promise, as compensation, I'll swim out to Duck Island with some ice cream and eat it in your honour.
Naked. Yeah,
awesome.
Naked.
We'll make sure he does that.
We will hold him to it. Yeah, guys, we know how hard it is to get up here, get it built, get it open. We know how hard you're working. Yeah. So well done and congratulations. It's really epic.
Thanks.
I said it's changed. Well, maybe it's changed my life because I live around the corner. So it's very handy.
It's life-changing stuff.
Yeah.
Sophie, do you want to do a shout-out to what Dynaid's doing at the moment for Christchurch?
Yeah. Just before we sign off, as our regular listeners will know, I am the lead on a charity called Dynaid, which is the hospitality industry's way of raising money, traditionally for the city missions in the lead-up to Christmas. But at the moment, the day after the Christchurch terror attack, we launched a campaign which is specifically raising funds for victim support. So if everyone can please get behind and thank the restaurants that are on board, there's more than 100 across the country, they're adding $2 to your bill. Some of them are asking you to put money in a jar by the till. And then the fundraising will go up until the 27th of April, and it's being concluded with a massive fundraiser organised by Sid and Chan Sarawat at Sid at the French Cafe. So that day there's a silent auction, there's all sorts of things happening, but I won't tell you because it's sold out. We've had a really wonderful response, so thanks everyone for your support, and keep it coming.
Good on you, New Zealand. See you all next month. We'll be talking to Henry Oliver about the Metro Magazine Restaurant Awards,
of the year.
Which is already highly controversial and
Whoa-ho.
Nothing's even happened.
Can't wait.
It always is. Any awards.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.